You guys did a terrific job tonight, and now I'm going to ask you to help me even more by paying attention and by keeping ourselves to ourselves, because you've done a fantastic job of that. Okay? So, we're going to turn in the Bible tonight. I'm going to invite all these other folks to turn as well, okay? You don't have your Bibles in front of you. Most of you don't. But if you do have one, and all these other folks do, if you have a Bible, turn to Acts, and that's going to be Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. And we're going to hear about three very important persons, one of whom, the most important, is Jesus. But we're going to hear about two other people as well. One doesn't have a name, but we know much about him, and the other does have a name. So the first one we're going to read about in Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 26. I'm going to read the scripture. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Okay, there's a name, Philip. Philip was a preacher, an evangelist, and the Lord had sent him, was about to send him, to talk to someone about being saved. That was a good thing, wasn't it? And he said, "Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert." And he arose and went, and behold, here's the second person, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. So let's talk about this person first. We'll come back to Philip in a little bit. So this person doesn't have a name, but we know a lot about him. He must have been a very important person. He was a leader in a country, and the country's name was Ethiopia. Can we say that? Ethiopia in Africa. And there was a queen in that country, and this gentleman, whose name we do not know, but this gentleman was in charge of all her money. Do queens have a lot of money? Yeah, they do. Queens do. Yeah, kings and queens, usually they have quite a bit. And he was in charge of all of it, so he must have been very honest. Can we assume that? Very honest. Would you let someone be in charge of your money if they were dishonest? No. So he was very honest, and he was very loyal to his queen. She let him leave the country. What if he had taken all her money with him? Nope, didn't do that. Very loyal. And there's something else we know about him. He had been in Jerusalem, and he had come to worship, which means that he knew about the true God, Jehovah, the creator of all the world, and he came to Jerusalem to worship, so he was a religious person. Now, by religious, I mean he did things that he hoped would please God. Now, many of you have moms and dads or grandparents that go to church, perhaps most of you at this church, but not all, and they go to church each Lord's Day, each Sunday. And we would say that's a good thing. It's good to go to church, isn't it? Learn about God, fellowship with people. And we might call that religious, to go to church, religious. Some of them sing the songs. When we sing from the songbooks, they sing the songs. You sung tonight very well. And we can sing songs about the Lord. That's religious. How about, what are some other things that we might think of as religious? Yes.
Praying.
Excellent. Yes.
Reading your Bible.
Boy, those are good things. Going to church, praying, reading your Bible. This gentleman seemed to be quite religious. We know that, and he was honest, and he was very important in his country. But there was still something he missed, and he understood that. So let me read a couple more verses, and we'll see perhaps what he missed. Verse 29 says this, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip," oh, there's Philip again, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah." So now, the Ethiopian eunuch, he's in a chariot. What do chariots do? They move, right? Sometimes there's a horse drawing one, sometimes two horses, a normal family chariot. And so he's in a chariot. Now, he's a very important person. Maybe he had even a bigger chariot. We don't know. But he wasn't riding along in his chariot. He had pulled off to the side and parked. And he was reading his Bible. Wow. And he wanted to know what the Bible meant. And so the Lord, through the Spirit of God, sent Philip. Now, Philip was a deacon in Jerusalem. He was a leader in his church. And he was an evangelist. He took the good news about Jesus, and he took it to many people. He'd just been in Samaria preaching. And the Lord sent him here for this one person. You know, it's wonderful to think that God sends someone to talk to every individual. You're loved by God, and he wants every person to be saved. Every person, one by one. And so he sent Philip to talk to this man. And Philip looked up in that chariot. You know, if that was a really important person from another country who served the queen, who had lots of money, and he had a nice chariot, I might just be a little hesitant. I might say, well, what if he doesn't want to talk to me? But Philip knew the Lord sent him. So Philip was bold. And he said, "Understandest what thou readest?" Meaning, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand? And the answer that was given is marvelous. Because the fellow was very honest. He didn't say, well, I'm an important person. And I'm a good reader. Of course I understand. He didn't say that. Now, people can be good readers and still not understand what something's teaching them. You can be a good reader but not understand the Bible. God's Spirit has to help us understand it, but God also sends other people. Now, the ones right here, I can't see folks further back, but I'll ask a raise of hands, and if you're a child back in the back and I see you, I'll ask you, can you tell me someone who can help you understand the Bible? Raise your hand. Who can help you understand the Bible? Now, you answered before, so I'm going to choose someone else right here. Your family, mom or dad or uncles or grandma or grandpa or a cousin, your family can help you, can't you? Anyone else, anywhere in the auditorium? Okay, anyone in the front row here? Noah. The preacher can help you understand it. That's when he preaches a message or teaches a Sunday school class, yes. The preacher can, your family can. Anyone else? We'll just look for one more. So right here in the front, yes. Your teacher, your Sunday school teacher, VBS teacher. Okay. So they can help you understand. Well, God sent Philip to help this man understand. And his title, this man in the chariot, his title is eunuch. And that had to do with his life and other things. But that's all we know him by. So we have the eunuch from Ethiopia. And we have Philip. So Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I except some man should guide me? That's a wise person that says, I don't think I can understand all of this. But could you help me? And that's why moms and dads and teachers and pastors and vacation Bible school workers and others, that's why we try to explain the Bible, because people need to understand it. So he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And then they began to read the scripture, and there was a passage that was read. I won't read it here for my purpose, but there was a passage read from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. And the eunuch answered, the man from what country? What country is he from?
Ethiopia.
The man from Ethiopia answered Philip and said, I pray thee, or I'm asking you sincerely, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? He said, well, it's talking about someone who's being punished. The passage was talking about that. Someone who was a sacrifice, and he said, the man from Ethiopia asked the question, who's that referring to? And Philip, oh, Philip was an evangelist. He wanted to talk about Jesus. And that's what that passage was talking about, Jesus. That's the third person in the passage. We've got the fellow from what country?
Ethiopia.
And we've got an evangelist named
Philip.
And we've got the Lord Jesus. Because the passage in the Bible that they're reading is about Jesus. And the scripture says, then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Boy, that's great. He opened the Bible to a passage, the man from Ethiopia, and it was just ready for Philip to explain all about Jesus. Now, the lesson was from the Bible, and that's where we find truth, the Bible. The things in the Bible are all true. And this account or narrative, this event really happened. And the other things in the Bible, promises that God gives about prayer, about being saved, promises that he gives about caring for us, they're all true. Everything in the Bible comes from the Lord and is true. So it was from the Bible and it was about Jesus. Now, what are some important things to know about Jesus? Well, this man wasn't saved. This fellow from Ethiopia hadn't clearly understood why Jesus came. He was just hearing about him for the very first time. And what are some important things? Well, it's important that we know that Jesus was God's son. Isn't that important? It certainly is. He was a man. He grew up from babyhood, okay, from being an infant. We celebrate his birth at Christmas. But he grew up into manhood, but he wasn't just a man. He was God's own son. Jesus came to earth for us to be saved. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so the important thing to know, Jesus was God's son. Another very important thing, did Jesus sin when he was living on this earth? Did he ever sin at all, ever, in all of eternity?
No,
Jesus never sinned. Sin. Sin is, that's not a hard word, but if I ask you, tell me, what does sin mean? Can anybody answer that question? What would be an answer? I'll have you again. Yes.
Sin is like bad, lying, stealing.
Okay, lying, stealing. I would say those are sins, lying and stealing. Yes.
Killing,
murder. Yeah, that's a sin. Yes.
Thinking wrong thoughts.
Thinking wrong thoughts. Maybe jealous thoughts or mean thoughts. Sure. Now, all these answers, they began with a little different twist that was actually about sin. All these answers are what? They're examples of sin. But sin itself is anything that disobeys or displeases God. Would that be a fair thing to say? If God is displeased, if he doesn't want us to do something, or what if he wants us to do something? He wants us to be respectful to our parents, and we get upset one time, and we say something mean to our mom or dad. I don't like you! Ooh. Do you think that pleases God? No. So sin can be things we do that he doesn't want us to do, Or it can be things that we don't do that he would like us to do, like being kind or forgiving others or sharing or different things depending upon us and our day. So sin has to do with displeasing the Lord. And the scripture says that God is a pure and holy God. He never sins. He is God. And Jesus never sinned. Now, we have a problem. Look around the auditorium. Look around the auditorium. Look all the, a lot of those folks are older than you guys, right? A lot of those folks are older. And I've got to tell you this. Psst. They're all sinners. They are. They're all sinners. But you know what? I am too. And you know what? Are you a sinner?
Yes.
Every person is born as a sinner. Every one of us is a sinner. And that means that when God says, someday, I have to, we don't like this, someday there's a punishment for sin. Have any of you ever done something wrong during the day, and the person caring for you, it might be your mom, or it might be a teacher, it might be grandma or granddad, might be your dad, someone caring for you during the day says, you just wait. In my house, I raised two sons. That might be my wife, this Mrs. Brown. Raise your hand, Mrs. Brown, right back there. She might have said to my sons when they were younger, you just wait. When your daddy gets home, you're going to speak with him. Ooh, that ruined the rest of the day. Well, you see, our lives may have some sin. They do have some sin. All of us sin. But the real penalty, the real punishment for sin is at the end of life. The most severe, the worst. Because if we've not been forgiven of our sin and we leave this life, then the scripture says the wages of sin is death. And the scripture says that there is condemnation, there is punishment for those who sin and haven't been forgiven. Now here's a eunuch. He's from Ethiopia. Is he a sinner? What do you think? Is he? What do you think? Everybody in this room's a sinner. Everybody on the face of the earth is a sinner. So is the Ethiopian a sinner? Yes. And he wanted to know what to do about that. And so he asks a question. As they went on their way, they came to a certain water. This is after Philip told him about Jesus, the Son of God. Philip must have told him that Jesus is the one who paid for the punishment that comes at the end of life. You mean someone paid for me so I don't have to face that punishment? Yes. He must have told him that Jesus died on the cross for a purpose, and his death was sufficient to pay for our sins. Because Jesus didn't sin and he owed no sin debt. We owe the debt, but he paid it in our place. And he must have told the eunuch that. But remember, the man from Ethiopia is very religious, right? Did we say that? He's very religious. He reads the Bible. He went to worship. Very religious. And so he heard about Jesus. Boys and girls all over the auditorium, you've probably heard about Jesus in Sunday school and at home and even in the services, right? You may have heard about Jesus other places. How many have heard about Jesus in Bible school or Sunday school? Sure. The Ethiopian eunuch heard about Jesus for the first time right here. But he has been religious, and so you know what he thought? He said, you know what I need to do? I need to get baptized. There's a problem there. It might even be that someone in this room saw your older brother or sister or a friend get baptized right here in the baptismal tank behind those doors. Do you remember seeing people get baptized? Anybody? Yeah. And they thought, a person in this room, I don't know who, but might have thought, that's what I need to do. If I get baptized, I'll be okay with God. The Ethiopian eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I went to Jerusalem to worship. I read my Bible. I know all about God. You've just told me about this Jesus, the Son of God, who died for me. I tell you what, I want to do something religious. I want to get baptized. And as I say, some of you may have seen others baptized and said, I want to get baptized. Mom, Dad, I want to be baptized. And that's a good thing after we're saved. So Philip gave him a great answer. He didn't say, no, you can't get baptized. He gave him a great answer. He told him what he should be doing first. And Philip said, verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If you believe, to believe what? Well, if you believe that Jesus lived as the Son of God, how many believe that? And that he never sinned, because he's the Son of God, and that he, not deserving of any punishment, was nailed to the cross and gave his life, his blood, to pay for my sin, your sins, each person's sin in this room and all over the world. Wow. If you believe that, he said, then you can go ahead and get baptized. But what was the important thing? You need to believe. Now, there's some different kinds of belief, Lo. I believe when I get in an elevator that it's going to take me to the floor. How many go in elevators? You've been in an elevator, everybody? How many, when you got in the elevator, you said, I believe this is going to go up to the floor I'm going to? Huh? You believed it, right? What if that elevator made this creaky, grindy sound? I was in an elevator like that like 2 weeks ago. Grind, creak, groan. Ooh. I wasn't quite sure I believed it. And then another person got on and said, is this a bad elevator? Ooh, that did not make me feel good. So you know what? The next time, my wife and I were on vacation, Mrs. Brown and I, the next time we went up in the elevator next to it. Let's go up in this one. Because I wasn't sure I really believed that one was safe. Now I could say, oh yeah, I believe the elevator is safe, but to trust it, I don't know. How many believe that there's probably some 12-year-olds? Anybody in the room 12 years old? Raise your hand wherever you are, quick. 12 years old, okay, Dewey. Anybody else over here? Yeah, okay. How many believe that there are probably some 12-year-olds that can drive a car on the highway? Huh? All right, all the ones that are 12. Now, all the rest of us, are you willing to get in the car and ride with them? No. So we can say, I believe something, meaning I think it's probably okay. But this kind of belief isn't, I think it's probably okay. This kind of belief is, I'm trusting Jesus with my soul forever. If anything should happen to me when I'm 97 years old, or 77 years old, or 37 years old, or however old, and my life should come to an end, I'm trusting Jesus that he paid for my sin, so I'm going to be able, as a forgiven child of God, to go to heaven. I'm trusting. That's belief. And he said, if thou believest, baptized, if thou believest, thou mayest. You've got to believe. See, baptism is religious and it's good for people who believed, but it's not how we get saved or forgiven. Going to church isn't how we get saved or forgiven. Saying grace at dinner is not how we get saved or forgiven. Reading our Bibles, good as it is not how we get saved or forgiven. Being baptized is not how we get saved or forgiven. Believing, trusting Jesus, that he personally gave his life for mine, and expressing that to him. Here's what the Ethiopian eunuch said, and I'm almost done. He answered. So the man from Ethiopia, the eunuch, he answered. Now he answered two people in our account. He answered the man who was the deacon and evangelist. What's his name? Philip. And he also answered the Lord, because God hears our prayers. And the scripture says we can go to him, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he gave his answer to Philip, but God heard that answer, and here it was, it's written right out for us in the Bible. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Meaning, I believe he is without sin, and that he died for me. He's who he said he was. And then Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So being baptized was good after he got saved. But getting saved is not getting baptized. It's not going to church. It's not reading your Bible. It's not even just standing up in class or putting your hand up or walking to the front of the church. Being saved isn't just saying a prayer. We could print out a prayer and say this prayer. No. Getting saved is believing. What am I pointing to? Believing in my what? Heart. Believing in my heart that Jesus intentionally gave himself for me, and that's all it took. Because a perfect Son of God loved me so much, he gave himself for me. Perfect Son of God. Now, that's okay. Okay, look up here. Look up here. Okay, thank you. Now, I'm going to ask this question. Boys and girls all over the auditorium, it's possible that some children hear about Jesus a lot. It's possible that some children know they go to church. It's possible that some children hear the gospel message, but they may not have ever expressed, that is, talked to God. It's possible they've never expressed to God the fact that they believe that Jesus died for them, and that what he did for them is all that it takes. In other words, his death on the cross, his life for us, is sufficient to save us. What he did is sufficient. We don't have to do other things on top of that. It's just what he did. Now, I wasn't a child when I was told about that. But it took someone teaching me, understandest what thou readest? Except a man should guide me. I can't. Someone had to explain to me, and I was 25 years old. I was a daddy. I had two little children. I was married. And I had never, ever asked Christ to save me. I had been religious. I'd gone to church, but I hadn't told Jesus that I believed what he did was good and right and allowed me to be saved. The scripture says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, and I'm going to go there and finish with this invitation, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And Jesus is the one speaking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. So your heart's door is there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or woman or boy or girl or teenager of any age knows that I'm at the door and I want to come into their life as the one who died for them on the cross, all they need to do is believe that if I open my heart's door, Jesus will come in and save me because he promised to do so. So let's think for a minute. If you're here in the auditorium, young or old, are you certain that you've called upon the one, opened the heart's door, called upon the one in belief, not religious observance, not giving away offerings or time, or not just going to church? Or those things are works which God doesn't accept for salvation. Do you know that you've trusted Christ as your Savior? One way to know is to openly ask him to save your soul. And that's what I did. Now, whether that's out loud or whether that's in the heart, whether that's with other people or whether that's at the front of a church or whether that's alone in your home, the important thing is believing. And boys and girls, when you come to understand that we're sinners and you're a sinner and that Jesus wants to forgive your sin, all of it, so that someday you can be with him in heaven, all forgiven, not by being good or obeying mom and dad, but by trusting what Jesus did. And if you know that you have trusted him and you know there was a time, maybe it was at VBS or maybe it was at home with your parents or maybe it was in the church, but yes, I've trusted. Not just I said a prayer, but yes, I know I trusted Christ. Well, then the scripture says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a done deal. It's done. Now, we can serve him the rest of our life, but that's done. But if you're not certain, adult or child, that you've trusted Christ, you might remember saying something. You may remember a Sunday school teacher that asked you to raise a hand. And if you raised it and meant it, that you were believing on Christ, that's wonderful. But if you raised it and thought later, I wonder what that was about, just be honest about that, because people do that. So let's bow our heads for prayer.